Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Investors and Analysts Conference Call of SAF Holland SA. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Haas.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, once more. This is Stefan Haas speaking, Investor Relations at SAF Holland. Thank you, first of all, for attending the conference call today, which will be predominantly on the release of the second quarter figures. As always, we will have a Q&A session at the end of the call, and I will now hand over to our CEO, Mr. Burkhard, who will be followed by Mr. Kapers later on. Thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Haas, thanks a lot. Thanks for the introduction. Also from my side, very good morning to all ladies and gentlemen. This is Detlef Burkhard. Thanks for joining our today's Investors Analyst call on our results for Q2 and the first half of this year. As Mr. Haas already said, Wilfried will do the second part of the presentation, and as usual, we will go first through the presentation and then open for your questions. This time, we will do it a little bit different. Before we begin, I would like to give you an update on our offer for the Swedish company Haldex, and we are pretty sure that many of you are interested in this update. As you are aware, we have made a very attractive offer for Haldex at 94.42 Swedish crowns, and our offer price reflects a strong valuation and an underlying earnings multiple, which is significantly above the trading multiples of comparable peers. We believe that our offer, or we know that our offer has been carefully determined based on a number of different factors, and it reflects the complementary nature of our business and the joint growth opportunities for both Haldex and SAF Holland. Following the ZF's higher offer from last week, we have made our assessment and we re-evaluated the price and our options, and we have come to the conclusion that we will not increase our offer, and we will not enter into a bidding contest. Such a step would not be in the interest of our shareholders. Nevertheless, our offer remains open until the 24th of August, when it will automatically run out. This is standard process in the Swedish M&A situations. I believe that is important to mention. We are committed, and I would like to make it very clear, we are committed to generate value for our shareholders and follow our own merger and acquisition principles. These have mainly two aspects. First, acquisitions have to provide strategic value, be it through access to new regions or new products. Second, they have to pay off for SAF Holland and for its shareholders. We, as SAF Holland, we are committed to all our stakeholders, and as a publicly listed company, this of course also applies to our shareholders. For years, they have appreciated and supported SAF Holland for its proven strategy and most importantly, also for our reliability. We have made our motivation for the proposed acquisition very clear and provided full transparency on that, and Haldex would become a strong pillar of our group. Irrespective of the outcome of this process, I would like to make clear again that the acquisition of Haldex would contribute to key elements of our Strategy 2020. We would achieve our sales targets of 1.5 billion euros ahead of time, but, and this is important to mention, it is not prerequisite. Our strategy and our objectives remain fully in place, and we are very confident that we will reach our goals. Having said that, let me now come to our results for the first half and Q2 of this year. With this, I would like to draw your attention to our presentation, which should be in front of you, and would like to start with page number two with the agenda. We will talk about the highlights this year so far, about the market trends. We give you, as usually, detailed financial information. Last but not least, talk about the outlook for the remainder, or let's say for the full year 2016. On page three of the presentation, you see some highlights. Talk about the business trends first. The first bullet point, you see that despite a weak market environment in many emerging countries, and I will come to that later more in detail, and the severe truck market downturn in North America, our organic sales in the first half of this year came close to previous year's level. Our organic sales trend improved from -2.2% year-over-year to -1.8% only in Q2 2016. Second bullet point, facing this challenging environment, as I followed, increased the adjusted EBIT margin by 30 basis points to 9.2%, and our Q2 adjusted EBIT margin achieved now 9.6%, and this is a remarkable number and a very high, a very good achievement, as we believe. Also, you see on the next bullet point, the headline is pioneering order won in the U.S. for disc brake technology. Most of you are aware about the fact that we are talking about it for years now, that disc brakes will come in the North American market as well as it is standard in Europe already. With this order, we got from U.S. Xpress a large fleet in North America running on drum brakes only so far. We got now the order for 1,800 trailers featuring the fully dressed axle and suspension systems from us, from SAF Holland, and these axles will be equipped with our latest generation of, we call it the P89 disc brakes, which we believe is or will be the benchmark for the North American trailer disc brake technology in the future. Of course, this will be substantial expansion for our value sold in for SAF Holland. That means more content per vehicle, and that is part of our strategy. From the highlights, I would like to come to the market trends, and I would like to straightly go into page number five. Most of you know this slide already, where it give you always an update where we and others see the markets, mainly for North America and Europe, and mainly for trucks and for trailers. On the first line, you see the Class 8, the truck forecast. As usually, we have two companies providing these figures, and one is ACT, which you see on the first line. Second one is FTR on the second line. Both are reporting a sharp decline for the North American truck market this year compared to the nice increase in the last years. When you look to the numbers, -26.7% according to ACT and -27.1% according to FTR, which reflects a sharp decline. Just to remind you, we and other experts in the North American truck market thought this year will be -10%, -12%, but definitely not -26% or -27%. On the European side, which you see on the next, on the second line, it's a different picture. After a nice increase last year to 228,000 trucks, according to LMC data for this year, we would see another increase of 1.3%, and we believe that could be even better or even higher, because the order intake for the truck OEMs is quite good, and we see absolutely no weakness there, so that number could be even higher. On the trailer side, coming to the third line, for North America, you also see a decline this year compared to the nice increase in the last years, but definitely not that sharp, that high than on the truck side. ACT is talking about -5.8% and FTR -6.9%, but please have a look to the numbers, very different absolute numbers, 307,000 trailers compared to 365,000. Probably we will end somewhere in the middle. Anyhow, that will be a high number. A trailer production above 300,000 is a very good year. Even numbers, let's say between 250,000 and 270,000 trailers is a good year and a stable year. we see this decline, which is forecasted here, not that dramatic. Most of our trailer customers, trailer OEMs in North America are already fully booked for this year and started now to confirm orders for January next year already. On the Western and Eastern European trailer market, these are the numbers from Clear, provided by the company Clear. You see for this year another nice increase. And according to these numbers, we could see a double-digit growth for more than 10%, which would be really fantastic. We could confirm that, maybe not the 10%, but definitely a nice increase over the numbers from last year. And it looks like that also for next year, for 2017, this could continue. It would be great, and please have in mind, all these numbers in Europe are almost without Russia, because the Russian OE market, both for trucks and trailers, is pretty much dead. And of course, the second-hand market for used vehicles, used equipment, is pretty much dead as well. And also here we see no difference in the foreseeable future. So from the market trends in general, I would like to go a little bit more into the details, talking about the truck market in Europe. On page 6, you see an overview for the last 3 years, sorry, for the last 2 years and this year, about new registrations for heavy commercial vehicles above 16 tons, and that's the market where we are in. You see that in every month this year, from January until June, much higher numbers than in the year before. In the first quarter this year, January, February, March, you see numbers of 21,000, went up to 27,000 new trucks registered in Europe. And the second quarter of this year, even better, numbers of 26,000, 23, and again 26,000 trucks being registered in Europe, which is very nice. And you see also visually that this year is trending absolutely in the right direction, and as you have seen before, it might continue for the next couple of months and quarters. A totally different picture on the next slide number 7, the truck market class 8 net orders for North America. Just the opposite, every month this year far below the net orders in 2015 and also in 2014. The FTR expects that the net orders will be stabilized on this low level on the next couple of months, and also this is something we can confirm. Also, our order intake is pretty stable now and is not going down any further. With this, I would like to come to SAF Holland, to our numbers. On page 9, you see the executive summary of our results in the first half of this year. There are 5 bullet points, and I would like to guide you through that. Bullet point number 1, talking about the organic sales, or let's say the sales development in total. Our group sales in the first half of this year decreased by 4.5%, and organically it would be only minus 2%. We have some translational FX effects, which burdened us by minus 9.9 million. And also please have in mind that we sold last year, end of last year, our airway business, which impacts us by 3.8 million euros negatively. In the second quarter this year, our organic sales trend improved to minus 1.8% year over year, compared to 2.2% minus in the first quarter of this year. Second bullet point, talking about the profitability of our company, our adjusted EBIT margin improves even further. In the first half of 2016, it was slightly lower at 49 million compared with 49.5 million last year. So a slight reduction on the top line. But when you look to the margin, the first half of 2016, the margin went up 30 basis points, topping now the 9% margin threshold and coming in now with 9.2%. We'll go into the details later on the following slides. Bullet point number 3, the financial results. This amounted to minus 6.9 million euros in the first half this year, compared to 1.4 in the first half 2015. The deterioration almost exclusively related to the swing in unrealized FX gains from the valuation of intercompany foreign currency loans that had amounted to 5.6 million euros in the first half 15 compared to almost nothing to the first half this year. As of 2016, and that's the last bullet point on number three here, the effects from the valuation of intercompany foreign currency loans previously included in our finance result are disclosed now in the other comprehensive income OCI. Number four, talking about the earnings per share, triggered by the swing in the finance result, our reported net profit came in at 25.7 million compared with 30.4, and the undiluted earnings per share adjusted for one-offs and intercompany loan effects at 65 euro cents. The number five is about the outlook. I will not talk about that right now because Wilfried Trepels will do it later on in detail. On page number 10, next slide, you see the sales and EBIT development on the quarterly basis. And as you can see, going to the left side, the sales first, the Q2 number with 273.7 million, much higher than the Q1 number with 259.9. And also Q2 this year, almost at the same level than last year, with 287 million. In the first half, the first 6 months, minus 25 million compared with last year. The reasons I explained already. I will come to the regions later on, also talk a little bit more in detail what happens in the three different regions we report on. On the right-hand side of the slide, you see our adjusted EBIT development for the total company. Nice increase of to 9.2% in the first half of this year compared with 8.9. And if you go to the quarterly results, you see a nice increase in Q2 compared with Q1 this year from 8.7% now to 9.6%, and also the absolute number with 26.3 million is almost on the record level of 26.9 million in Q2 last year. With this, I go to the next slide number 11, talking about the sales by region and by sales channel. On the left-hand side of this slide, you see the regions. You see that EMEA means Europe, Middle East, Africa, and India. We increased in this region our sales by 6% to 297 million euros, and that reflects now more than 55% of our total sales. In North America, due to the reasons I talked about that already, our business shrinked by more than 14% to 205 million euros, and this is 38% of our total sales. In the APEC China region, also there, our sales shrinked by 19.3% to 31 million. The sales by sales channel, you see both shrinked. The OE market or OE business by 5.5% and the aftermarket by 1.3%. Aftermarket, just to talk about that for a minute, this sales reduction was mainly based on our slower aftermarket business in North America. The European and Middle East aftermarket business is running quite well, and I'm very satisfied with that. In total, aftermarket represents now 25.4% of total sales, and 3/4 of our business is OE driven. Coming to the regions in detail, on page number 12, I will start with the Europe, Middle East, Africa, and India region. Nice increase, as I said already, both in terms of sales and in terms of profitability. In terms of sales, we realized 152 million euros in the second quarter this year, compared with 144 last year. Aftermarket, as I said, is solid. We can report on further market share gain, especially in Spain, UK, South Africa, and Iran. And also these markets are still good, including UK. We don't see any negative influence due to the Brexit so far. And also we don't really expect anything negative on that because the UK market was and is an isolated market. And all our competitors have the same conditions than we have. Most of them are here in German-based. And that means we play in the same playground here in the UK market. Russia, I talked about it already. This market is still very weak, and we see no signs of recovery for this year and probably also not for next year, but that's a little bit too early to speculate on that. But just to remind you, if Russia will come back, if Iran will open, and we see that will open probably next year, and Europe will at least remain on this level as we see it so far, then in this area, EMEA, business could increase even more if it comes true. And we believe there is a nice potential that the situation in Russia might change and the situation in Iran will change. So this will come on top, and that means higher sales and also higher profitability. Coming to that, you see a big jump here on the adjusted EBIT margin from Q2 last year with 7.7% now to 11.3% or 17 million, which is a very nice number. Why is that? It's explained on the last bullet point on this slide. These significant improvements in our profitability are mainly driven by economics of scale, that means more volume, and also trailing effects from our very successful plant consolidation we did last year, and a lot of efficiency measures in other locations, and also nice success in our purchasing activities. And all that together is, I would say, almost a perfect storm for us, and that related in the 11.3 profitability on the EBIT side, which is great. A little bit different picture on the Americas, which is on page number 13. Unfortunately, we see a decrease both in terms of sales and also in terms of our adjusted EBIT. The market conditions, I elaborated on that already in detail a little bit earlier. Our organic sales declined by 9.9%, and also what didn't help was our airway divestiture, which was a good divestiture, but also that hits us by approximately 4 million less in sales. Brazil, that is the last bullet point in the upper half of this page. Brazil is still low. There are no signs of recovery. Trailer market is probably 85-90% down compared to 2014 numbers. Truck is pretty much the same. And we see no movement at all in this region, in this country. And we will see if that will change. The only good thing to report on is it should not go further down. We thought that, to be honest, already last year, that this year could not be worse than 2015. This was a wrong assumption. This year is even worse. But now we believe it's really bottomed out, and it stabilized in this very low level. Regarding the profitability in Americas, you see a decrease to 7.6% in adjusted EBIT or 8 million euros. And but although the sales shrink that much, we are still having 7.6% EBIT margin, which is not too bad. And I believe we reacted very fast with a lot of measures to adjust our capacity, to cut costs, etc., etc. On the APEC China region, which is on page number 14, you also see here a decline in sales and profitability. We reached 16.9 million euros in the second quarter this year compared with 21 million. But we saw in the second quarter this year an increase compared to the Q1. That means also we go in the right direction here. And we will see what the second half of the year will bring. Our facility in Xiamen is pretty well loaded, still with orders for the North American marine chassis market, and that helps, of course. But other markets like Australia are still weak, and also we see almost no improvement in this area of the world in the first half of this year, and I doubt it will change in the second half of this year. So that means APEC China is challenging and will be challenging also for the second half. On the profitability side, 6.5% after 10.8% in Q2 number 15. But also here, sales, as I said, increased in the second quarter, but also our EBIT margin increased compared to Q1 this year, so it goes in the right direction. With this, I'm done with the overall numbers for the company and the markets and the different regions, and I would like to hand over to Wilfried Trepels to talk more in detail about the financials.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start with page 15 regarding the cash situation as well as the net working capital. Q2 16, the operating cash flow was okay with 13.3%, slightly above prior year with 12.6 million. Overall, the net working capital unfortunately increased to 12.2%, and I'm not that happy about this. Due to the fact that we worked very hard on the inventory reduction, and you see that on the right-hand side, you see that the inventories and the days of inventories are turning into the right direction, down to 51 days. Everybody in the management took over certain responsibility for certain companies, installing and implementing and executing, of course, measures, so that I'm quite sure that we will bring that down over the course of the year. Unfortunately, accounts receivables and accounts payables were the issue that the net working capital went up. But I believe that from today's perspective, that was really a one-time effect or effect of the 30th of June, and not really a trend here. If I now go to the next page, and please follow me to the balance sheet, which is on page 16, you see that the total assets have now a volume of 965 million euros. And this is, of course, due to the fact that we have accumulated cash and cash equivalents available of more than 300 million. If we look now to the equity is 288 million, which is calculated to almost 30% equity ratio. If we would deduct the excess cash, we would end up with round about 42.3% equity ratio. Let me say also a word to the net debt development. You see the last remark on this slide that the net debt as the end of June 30th, 2016 amounts to almost 140 million compared to the end of the year where it was 122.4 million. And this number is not shown here, but I can tell you that at the end of March, net debt was 111.5. So the question is, why has it increased by 28 million? And simply speaking, it has increased because we have bought for 13.5 million shares of Haldex to be prepared for the offer and the execution of the takeover. And another point is that we have paid at the end of April a dividend of 14.5 million. So add this up, then you see that this roundabout the same number, 28 million, which is the difference from Q1 and Q2 regarding net debt. Let me now come to the profit and loss statement, which you find on the following slide, page 17. Detlef talked already about the sales development and the difference between the first half 2016 and the first half of 2015 is 25.1 million. 13.7 million are due to the fact that we have FX effects as well as the divestiture of Airway. And the remaining difference of 11.4 million is then equal to the 2% organically down. Let me talk now about the gross profit. The gross profit increased by some hundred thousands, and that's quite positive because the sales dropped by 25.1. And if you look to the gross profit margin, you see that the gross profit margin increased by 1% point from 19.5 to 20.5%. And this is a great achievement. Detlef already explained that we have very good profitability, especially here in the European plants, that we have done a great job on purchasing, and that we have some economies of scale also here in Europe. If we now go down to the selling expenses, admin expenses, and R&D expenses, there's nothing specific tell you here about this development. It's quite stable. We have some impacts. One, on the one hand side, it is that we are accruing the costs for the IAA, which is every 2 years in Hannover here in Europe. And the second is that we have booked some higher numbers than in in the first half 2015, some higher numbers into the balance sheet regarding R&D projects. But overall, the R&D numbers and costs are in line with the prior year. So overall, the operating result is 43.8 million, very comparable with the last year's numbers. And I have to say it again, this is remarkable due to the fact that sales dropped by 25.1 million. The finance result, which you find then below, and Detlef mentioned it already on one of his first slides, minus 6.1 million compared to plus 2.2 in the first half of 2015. The difference is 8.3 million, and this is due to the following effects. One is, of course, and he said that already, the unrealized FX gains from the valuation of the intercompany foreign currency loans, which is 5.6 million. But further difference is that we have had higher realized FX of 1.0 million. We have higher interest of 1.3 million due to the fact that we have now the Schuldscheindarlehen on board, which is this promissory loan of 200 million from last year in November. And last not least, we have a difference of 0.4 million regarding derivatives and other items. So overall, the earnings before tax are 37.7 million, and the income tax is calculated with a rate of 32%, so nothing specific to talk about the tax situation. On the next slide, some more details about the cash flow statement on page 18. If you take the first two lines together, result before tax and the finance result, you end up with, in both cases, 2016 as well as in 2015, with around 44.5 million. So from this perspective, stable. In the fourth line from the top, you see where the positive impact comes from. It's a change in net working capital. That was in 2015 in the first half, minus 41.1, now minus 21.2. And the operating cash flow before income tax is exactly positive by this number, which we could achieve in the net working capital. However, as I said, there is in the net working capital still room for improvement until the end of the year. Another point which we have to talk about is in line four from the bottom, it's the cash flow from investing. Quite interesting number. It's positive with 92.6 million. Also here some more details on that. It's one positive effect. One positive effect comes from the fact that we put some of our cash into bank accounts where we could get some interest. It was for around about 3 months. And then we took it out, and taking it out, it has to be considered under IFRS as a divesting. And this amount was 115 million positive. Then we spent 13.4 million for the shares of Haldex, where we hold 1.6 million shares, which is equivalent to 3.6%. And another point is CapEx. CapEx is 10 million. So if you add these numbers together, you end up with 92.6 million. A word to the regular CapEx here, which is 10 million. It's a little bit below the Q half-year 2015, where it was 12.8, but that's nothing specific here. We have some delayed invoices, I have to say so, because we are investing here in our plant one to make the plant one able to work in the three-shift mode. We will do that beginning of September, and the invoices are coming in the third quarter for this. So there's nothing specific regarding our CapEx here. It's in line what we have planned. On the next slide, some words about the share price and the shareholder structure. The shareholder structure, you can see on the right-hand side, still 100% free float. We have three institutional investors having slightly above 5%, and the share of the members of the management board as well as the board of directors remains at 1.6%. Now let me come to our last slide, and this is on page 21, the outlook. And the financial targets for 2016 are confirmed. We only specified them here, and let me talk about this. We have here four lines. First line is about sales, and we said that in 2016 sales will organically be constant or slight increase. Now we are getting a little bit more precise, and we are now saying that it will tend closer to the lower end of this corridor. And why is that so? You have seen the numbers before and the calculation. Already in the first half, we have a deviation regarding FX, which is out of our influence, which is almost 10 million. And this for the first half. So let's speculate what it would be for the second half. If it is the same, we are talking about 20 million. If you deduct the 20 million from the higher end of this corridor, you end up with the lower end. Very simple. On the right-hand side, you see the strategy 2020 organic. Our target remains to be 1,250,000,000, as well as 1,500,000,000 with corporations, joint ventures, and acquisitions. And although the situation with Haldex is not in our favor in our day today, we believe that this is clearly our target and remains our target. Haldex would help us to achieve that faster. That's the difference. The adjusted EBIT margin is seen at 8 to 9%, and when we look to our achievements of the first half, and I talked already about it when we talked about the profit and loss statement, that we are, I would say, above what we could expect here at the beginning of the year. And so we believe that with the achievements of the first half, and we will see further achievements in the second half, that we are able to reach the upper half of the organic of the originally planned corridor. The strategy 2020 remains as it is. It should be the adjusted EBIT margin should be every year above 8%, or we can say also 8% plus. Net working capital ratio for the year 2016 should be 12 to 13%, and in our strategy it is 12%. CapEx remains unchanged, 28 million this year and 26 to 28 million in the upcoming years until 2020. So that's it from my point of view, and we are now open for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel your question, press 9 star again. Please press 9 star now to state your question. And first question comes from Sascha Gommel from Commerzbank.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got three. First of all, on your payables, can you maybe elaborate a little bit more what happened in the quarter? Did you use early payment discounts? Did that help profitability in any way in the second quarter? Then the second question would be on your margin improvement. When I compare the margins of the first and the second quarter, then the improvement is coming only from, let's say, below the gross profit line. So a lot of it is coming from R&D. Will that step up again, R&D spending, or do you think you can keep it at such a low level in the coming quarters? And then my last question would be on M&A. I'm sure there are more than one company, i.e. Haldex, on your list for M&A. But maybe you can share your view on your M&A strategy going forward. And do you feel in any way pressured? Because around this deal, a lot of discussion was about size in the commercial vehicle space, and Haldex repeatedly said that they think being part of a larger corporation makes a lot of sense for them to reduce investment risk and generate further scale. Maybe you can also share your view on that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mr. Gommel, to your first questions regarding accounts payables, there was nothing really specific. It was just an effect that we obviously paid in the last week, our accounts payables. Regarding the discount question, yes, we are paying with discounts, early payments, but there's no unusual behavior. We have done this now since more than a year, and so this is not the effect. I think that this effect is simply an effect that we paid in the last week instead of beginning of July.
Okay, so it will reverse a little bit in the second half.
Yes,
okay,
of course.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's nothing specific, I have to say. The second question was regarding the margin improvement, and your question was then more precisely regarding the R&D. I think that this will continue as it is today. Because we are working hard on our projects to get through, and especially in light of the IIA, we are really concentrating very much to achieve our goals here, and so I believe that this will remain the situation as it is. And the last question was regarding M&A, and I give that over to Detlef.
Yeah, Mr. Gommel, good morning also from my side. Regarding M&A, yes, of course, we have more than one company on our radar screen regarding M&A. Haldex is only one of it. And of course, I cannot and I will not talk any more in detail about what we have on plans, but we are working on that. That is a process we are doing for years now, as you know. And there are other nice, let's say, opportunities available as well, and we are working on that. And as you know, on our strategy 2020, we always said that roughly 250 million in sales volume will be M&A activities, and we said that we will do until end of 2020. So now we are in August 2016, and so there are some years to go, and that leads me already to your next question. Do we feel under pressure? No, absolutely not. Not at all. Haldex is a nice opportunity. It would be great if it will work. But as I said, it's only one. So we don't feel under pressure. And the last, the third part of the question was regarding the size in the commercial vehicle business. We are already the biggest public traded company in our markets here in Europe. We have a leading position. We are number one or number two, at least number three with the main products we do in the most important markets for us, Europe and North America. So we are already the market leader. Is size important? Yes, it is important, but we are already a very big player in the market. So we are not afraid about anything regarding this. And of course, with an acquisition of Haldex, we would achieve our targets much earlier. Okay, we would do the 1.5 billion already end of this year and not in 2020. But again, we work on that and we will deliver on our targets. That's what we can confirm today.
Okay, can I just
does that answer your questions? Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. I have just a quick follow-up. Going forward, will you rather focus on non-listed companies, given that when you focus on listed companies, there's always a bigger risk, probably that, let's say, a larger company like ZF or Wabco or the big players in the supplier space are showing up and making your life a lot harder, while you could probably seal a deal much easier, not much easier, but easier with a private company. Is it fair, or do you have a broad view on that?
I would say, what is easy, okay? also, dealing with private companies is sometimes not so easy. But, okay, we have some not some. We have a lot of experience in that. We know how to work that, to work on that. And so I don't care if it is a public listed company or not. It depends on the target, depends on the fit or strategy, and it needs to pay off. And what is the size of the company, and if they're public listed or not, that's something, yeah, we will see. And again, we don't care. This is not a killer argument not to do anything. We are very open to all possibilities which fits to our strategy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Christian Ludwig from Bankhaus Lampe. It's your turn.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. Also, a couple of questions from my side. First of all, just a clarification. This decline in Asian Pacific business, is that something that you believe will continue for the rest of the year due to the weakness of Australia? Just try and get a better feeling here what to expect there. Second question would be on a statement I think Mr. Schickels made. I'm not quite sure I get it. Did I get it right that you acquired 14% of Haldex in the meantime? Maybe you can confirm that. And the last question, basically also a little bit on a follow-up on Sascha's questions with your M&A activities going forward. Is there a lesson learned from Haldex that potentially if you go for a stock listed company, you will have to basically offer a higher premium from the beginning to have a chance to be successful?
Okay, Mr. Ludwig, good morning. Regarding your first question, APEC and China, the markets are weak, okay, especially in Australia, as I mentioned already during the presentation. Also, China is not running very well. We are seeing roughly 25% down in the Chinese trailer market, but is not that great. There's only one exception, which is the hybrid buses and electro-driven buses, which is running quite well, and we are part of that. But overall, in APEC region and including China, the markets are not that healthy. We believe that it will change, okay? It will, because we are now for a couple of years seeing this lower markets, and we believe that it will come back sooner or later. And as I said already, and also in my presentation, Q2 numbers are better than Q1 numbers, both in terms of sales and in terms of profitability. And if that will continue, it should not go further down. But please have in mind our order intake and the delivery times in China are very fast, there's a very short period. So we have really no idea what will happen in the last quarter of this year, but it looks not too bad. The number two question regarding the percentage of the Haldex share, we own 3.6%. 3.6% of the Haldex total shares. And regarding number three, lesson learned, no, there is no lesson learned. We believe we did everything right. It was a good process, very well prepared. We did our homework very much in detail, and we will continue in this process.
Okay, then just as a quick follow-up, at what average price did you buy the Haldex shares? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, you can make a simple calculation. It was 13.4 million divided by 1,590,000 shares. So it's round about 82.85.
Okay.
Sorry, euro. I have to calculate that back into. Wait a minute. So it's round about 76. Shaker.
Swedish crowns.
Swedish crowns, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And the next question comes from Hendrik Schmidt from Lois AG.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. First question about the Haldex shares. You said you own 3.6%. Are you going to sell them on to ZF, or are you going to keep them? And about the growth path in China or Asia in general, I was actually looking forward to seeing an acquisition in that kind of area, because you're only like very weak. Is there any chance of organic growth in that area, or is it only going to happen by acquisition? Thanks.
Okay, Mr. Schmitz. Second question first. Yeah, we might do an acquisition in China. Again, we are not, as I said, we are not focused on any specific area. It must fit our strategy. Of course, we have chance for organic growth. This is clearly part of our strategy 2020, and M&A activities will only support it. But mainly, the main growth will come from organic growth, and we are not weak, sorry to say that, in China. Regarding some of our products, for example, air suspensions for trailers, air suspensions for buses, we are on the premium side, and we are definitely not weak. And with the acquisition, the latest acquisition we did in China with Corpco, end of 2014, early 2015, we are already a market leader in the air suspension market for buses. So there's definitely no weakness. Again, we are going to grow this business. And, for example, we got a very nice order end of last year, early this year, for the first truck, heavy truck, being built in China from 2018-2019 onwards. This truck will have an air suspension, so the first truck with an air suspension, and that will be then the benchmark for other truck OEMs in China. And this air suspension will come from us, from Corpco. So I believe we are very well positioned for further growth in China, and that's what we are going to do. But of course, an acquisition is possible, but again, wait and see. And your first question regarding the Haldex shares, unfortunately, this is not a face-to-face meeting. Otherwise, you would see all of us in this room a little bit smiling here. So there's nothing else to sell. But let me wordsmith a little bit different. We will await the outcome of this process and are holding onto it. But please be assured we will evaluate options on how to best possibly maximize our position in the interest of our shareholders. Does it answer your questions?
Yeah, thanks. Just a little follow-up on the Asian part. With weak, I didn't mean that the position of SAF is weak, but the share of Asian revenue is like with only 10% weak. Because you target like 30% in 2020, that's quite a lot regarding the growth opportunities, which would mean you'd have like nearly triple-digit growth in Asia-Pacific with the currently units.
Let me step in here. It's not only Asia Pacific, it's ROW, which means rest of the world. From our perspective, this is out of the Americas and out of Europe, and this is, for instance, Russia, this is Middle East, this is Africa, this is, of course, Brazil, and it is Asia Pacific and China. So, coming to your question regarding acquisitions, yes, we said that we will make acquisitions which will support this strategy. Therefore, you can expect that we will also look at targets which support this. Another point which I would like to mention here is, and this sometimes is forgotten or not recognized, that also we said that the aftermarket is a clear focus here, and that the aftermarkets should remain at least 25%, and that therefore also the acquisition in this respect would clearly support our further strategy. Does this answer your question?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Momentary, there is no further question, but if you want to pose a question, please press 9* on your telephone keypad. And there is another question from Patrick Speck from Montega AG.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions remaining, and the first one would be on your on the Haldex offer again. Did you have any additional costs, maybe for consulting services or any other expenses like that, that we should keep in mind for the Q3 results? And my second question is on your margin guidance. To me, even the upper half of your margin guidance, to reach the upper half of the margin guidance, looks a bit conservative to me, and it implies that we will see lower profitability in the second half of the year. So could you share with us your expectations, why the profitability should be lower in the second half?
Okay, let me start to answer your questions. First of all, regarding Haldex, yes, you can expect some costs in the third quarter. We have had some consultants here, and we have also had some costs for hedging, hedging regarding the sales price in Swedish crowns. But on the other hand side, we will see how we can balance this, and Detlef said it already, we will optimize our position regarding the Haldex shares, which we have in our pockets. So let's see what will happen during the next couple of weeks. And regarding your second questions, your second question is regarding the margin guidance. Yes, that's true, what you are saying. And the reason for this is that in August, we have closed our factories here in Europe for a period of 3 months, according to the whole industry. Nothing specific, that always happens every year. 3 months, sorry for that, 3 weeks. It is in August, so this hits us, of course, in the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, we have Thanksgiving in North America. And especially in these times where we have weak markets in the truck markets, the truck OEs take the opportunity to close and not only for a couple of days. And last not least, and this is for every region in North America as well as here in Europe, and this is the Christmas season where also the company is closed. This is the reason for a certain burden which we usually have in the third and in the fourth quarter. Does this answer your questions?
Okay, yeah, very clear, but maybe a quick follow-up, if I may. You mentioned you had some additional costs regarding consulting. How much was it? What can we pencil in here?
We will come with precise numbers when we do the Q3 numbers.
All right. Thank you.
Another question from Sascha Gommel from Commerzbank.
A quick follow-up on margins. In the second quarter, the gross margin in APAC came down a little bit, while the EBIT margin came up quite a lot. I know it's small numbers, but maybe you can share what's behind that. If I look at it sequentially against the first quarter.
Yeah, in the first quarter, we have had some additional costs for advisors in China. And that is the main reason. That's the main reason for that.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
But probably I just add one information. For 3-4 weeks now, we have our president China on board.
Okay.
A very senior guy, very well known in the Chinese truck and trailer industry, or let's say in the commercial vehicle industry. And he joined us now, and I took over this position since January. You might remember that we started our new organization in these three regions from January on, and we looked for a good candidate, and finally we found one. And now he's having, his name is Guoxin Mao, he's having Guoxin on board. We believe we have the right top manager here in this top position, and also that will help and speed up our development, our further positive development in the China region.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And there's a question from Werner Friedman from A's and I's.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, thanks a lot for not overpaying on the Haldex deal, which is important. I believe from an investor's point of view. My question actually would relate to this U.S. disc brake technology deal. Is it something like a breakthrough in that respect for the product in that market, or is it more something that would be followed up by others only with a huge time lag? So how is your pipeline looking there?
Okay, first of all, thanks for your comment regarding not overpaying. Second question regarding the U.S. disc brake. Yeah, I would say it is a breakthrough because U.S. Express, as I said already, is a very well-known fleet. A lot of other fleets look to them, what they are doing, and so this could change the mindset of many other fleets. The first thing. Second thing is with our offer, with the P89 new disc brake, we believe we meet the price expectations from fleets. And I need to explain that a little bit more in detail. So far, we offered our disc brake solutions against the drum brake for pretty high premium, so surcharge on the disc brake technology. With this new technology, with this new P89 design, we have been able to lower the costs on the wheel end solution compared with the drum brake significantly. It's still a premium. It still costs more than a drum brake, but the difference is much smaller. And what we believe is, according to our discussions, long discussions for years now with the U.S., with the North American fleets, that includes Canada and Mexico, with this surcharge we ask now for, fleets are satisfied. They say, yes, I'm prepared to pay that because we see the benefit of a disc brake solution compared with a drum brake. And so the extra lease, this order now is the, I would say, the first one with this new design, with the new pricing. And this could be seen as a breakthrough. And we have a lot of other discussions in place, and we will see what will come. But we see that very positive. And on the long run, that means within the next 2 or 3 years, the U.S. market, the disc brake will increase. Just to remind you, in Europe, we are talking about 85% disc brake share compared to the drum brake. In U.S., is somewhere between 5 and 10%, so very little, both on truck and on trailers. And we see that the U.S. truck market will change more and more from drum to disc, and trailer will follow. And the main reason why it didn't happen so far was pricing. So it means it looks like we filled the gaps, or we are able to fill the gaps now, and the disc brake will increase. How much? And that was the last part of your question. We don't know. It's a little bit difficult to see that. It could be up to 30-40% in the next 3 years. That's how we see it. Is it conservative? We don't know. But what we see as well is that disc brake suppliers, and some names are very well known, doesn't matter if it's Knorr Bremse, in U.S. it's Bendix, it's Wabco, or it's Haldex, they are investing in U.S. in production and facilities to produce disc brakes, and for high numbers, hundreds of thousands of capacity, and they will not do it because they believe the disc brake market will not grow. So that also might give you a hint that we also will participate on that. So it looks promising, I would say.
Mr. Friedman, I would like to add some numbers here, or give you some ideas regarding the future. If we take U.S. Express as a fleet, they have a fleet which is something a little bit above 20,000 vehicles. And with the 1,800 vehicles, which they are now turning to disc brake, this, I'm not giving precise numbers, but let's assume this is a volume of 5 million sales for us. You can see, or you can imagine, that if this fleet will turn over the next years, only this one fleet, if they turn to disc brake and they start it, this gives you a hint that this might be a 50 million potential, just one customer. So I would say, yes, this is clearly a breakthrough. How fast it will go, we will see.
Thanks a lot. That's good news.
And there is no more question.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you a lot for attending today's conference call. We will see us again on the Q3 call, the latest. Thanks and bye-bye.